Morning, everybody. This is the Fishman Ministry, South Carolina, and this is our Sunday morning service.
Well, good morning, everybody. You know, I was thinking about things this morning. Yeah. It was working. I was thinking about the Word. I was thinking about one thing. You know, I've been listening to the Ephesians Bible study. And we had the past Men's Tuesday's Bible study. And one thing that I was thinking about is we have the commandment of the Lord. We have His lifeline. We have the guidance. We have His way. It's all right here in His Word. And we have authorities to go to for them to open this up to us to see what it's about and to walk in it. But one of the things that I was pondering on this morning is, if we can't get the first thing right, how are we going to get the second thing right? And I want to talk about that. You know, I was want to go to Matthew 22. I think I'm in the right place. Yes, I am. And I'm just going to start. Let's start at verse 36. Wait till everybody gets there. All right. And it says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." But the first one, that's what I really want to zone in on here today. Because let me tell you, if you're not loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not doing the first one. But how many, really taking a look at the sobering thought of, if I'm doing this. I mean, really looking at it honestly and asking yourself, am I loving the Lord my God who died for me with everything I got in every situation? You know, we have the epistles. We have how we're to be to our masters. We have how to be to our wives. We have how to be to our kids. Wives, we have how to be to our husbands. We have how do we be to our brother and sister. But if you're not putting God first, if you're not putting Jesus Christ first, you won't ever fulfill any of those things. A lot of times we go right to the second and try to love thy neighbor as thyself, and we're not even doing the first thing right. And then we get jumbled up and we get all messed up and wonder why we can't do this. Because it's all about us. Well, it's not all about us, but that's what we make it to be. And this was a sobering thing. We're singing that song, coming back to the heart of worship. You're looking into my heart. You're looking into my heart. What does he see? You know, we have that prayer of David, "Create in me a clean heart." We say that prayer, and if we really mean it, when we ask that prayer, "Create in me a clean heart," what starts to happen? Anybody who has? I have, and I've seen some very selfish, ugly, vile stuff come out, which is good. Could get rid of it then. Apply that hyssop, that expectorant. Get that garbage out. Praise God. But that looking into my heart, man, that's a sobering thought. Because what's in my heart? What's in there? Is it the love of God or the love of self? It's black or white. There's no gray area there. So I was just looking at that this morning. So before we can even get to the place where we're fulfilling these, it needs to be all about Jesus Christ and making Him Lord. Like I said before, the Savior part, that's awesome. That's the easy one to grab onto. That's where you become a child of God. Feed me, feed me, feed me. I need. Because I don't know. But then you got the servant part. Then you got the friend part. And the Lord's not called us all to be babes in Christ for all, the rest of our lives. It's not the case. We need to get out of that stage and move to the servant of Christ. Lord. Lord. I am here. My sole purpose here is to serve you and give you everything I got, to love you with all I got, and I'm going to choose to do that. And I know I can't love you with this flesh. This flesh is an enemy. It's enmity with you. But I can choose with my soul. Choose with my soul to serve you and love you. My soul and my spirit. Can and actually putting off that old man. So we wonder, men. Look at it. We have all a ministry at home. Well, wives do too. But let's look at this for example, for a second. You think you're going to go outside your household and make a difference at all for the Lord? When your household's a mess and you're not loving your wife as Christ has loved you, or you're not bringing up your children in the Lord as He has commanded, all starts around those four walls at home, guys. We're not getting that right. Don't think for a second that you're going to make a difference out there. You know, what did Christ do for us? He laid down His life for us. And we ought to do that with our own families. My question is, are we doing that? Are we loving them with just the, you make me feel good, you make me laugh, oh, you're cute? Are we loving them with God's love? And that's giving them what they need. Are you putting them before yourself? That's what Christ did for us. Or do we say, you're bothering me, I'm trying to do something. Your wife is in need of things. I'm too busy. I'm working. Are we praying for our wives? Are we praying for our children? Are we making intercession as Jesus did with God the Father by laying down His life? I say this, folks, because we ought not to be high-minded, but to think soberly and to be honest with the Lord. You can't do this in the flesh. You know, it's like the disciples looking at Jesus saying, well, then who can be saved? With God, all things are possible. He can change you. You make Him Lord of your life. You love Him with everything you got. You give Him everything that you got. He will show you how to love your wife. And wives, love your husbands. And fathers, love your children. And then love your bosses and love the people that are without Christ. And to love your brother and sister. He will show you what that means if you get serious about it. If you set your mind and your heart like flint to serve nothing but the Lord, He will show you. And He will give you that which you need to fulfill that, because it becomes not about you anymore. It becomes about Him. And then believe. Because a lot of times when we start getting into this place, we start to see how much we absolutely come short and absolutely fail. And then what do? We turn to James and he counted all joy. And you believe that what he did for you is sufficient enough to cover you. And you ask for forgiveness. And you get your butt back up and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me do? It's about you. It's about that love that you gave to me. Now I'm to give to others. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I'm going to go to John. No dead air. John 15. I seem to be in John, the Gospel of John 15 a lot. And one of my favorite chapters. You know, I think all of them are my favorite chapters, I tell you. But praise God. I'm going to start at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That should be exciting. Because that means, just by humbling ourselves and submitting unto His way. Submitting. That's different than obeying. That's actually, you can disagree with your boss and do what he says. Right? We'd probably do it more times than we like to admit. So Paul can tell me to do something. Might not agree with it, but I do it. That's obeying. That's not submitting. Submitting is actually agreeing with the Lord and believing it's true, believing it's right, and accepting it and just casting out, saying you're wrong, and throwing that old man, that enmity against him, and throwing him upon the cross and saying, yea, Lord, thank you for this commandment. That's submitting. But this gives us a way we can become his friends. But first, guys, some of us need to move to servitude. You know, and the cool thing I want to back up, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That agape love of choice. Do you think it was an easy decision to go to the cross for people after he healed them, delivered them, love them, told them the truth, walked with them. God, the creator of heaven and earth, came down and spent time with them. And as they were saying, crucify him, as we were saying, the way we lived, crucify him to the cross. He did that for you and for the whole world. Ain't none of us have that right. But we're called to fulfill that. And I know I can't do it in this flesh. I know I'm a wretched, selfish, I'm young but old man. But in the Lord, in Jesus, and in His love, I can. You look at Paul. You look at Peter. You look at John. These guys knew what it was about. They walked it out. They suffered many things. Paul was chosen of God, predestinated before the foundation of the world, and saying, I need to tell Paul, to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he did. And he loved the Lord. And going through all that persecution, going through all that tribulation, was worth it to him, that people may know the Lord, that the Gentiles may partake of the grace of Jesus Christ. And he counted all the rest of it but dung. It didn't even amount. All the things in the world that he fulfilled, all the Pharisee among Pharisees, all that was nothing. And he went and he suffered so that other people might know the grace of the Lord. He didn't do that in his flesh. He called himself the chief of sinners. He wrote Romans. You can tell what kind of place he was in at many times. Or in Romans 7. What the Lord did through him. The Lord was showing him something. We're called to walk in that same love. And we're imperfect. And God's so good that He shed His blood for us, that we can have that joy and that love shed abroad in our hearts. I'm not good. He is. And He walked it out perfectly for us. Creator of heaven and earth came down to die to pay the price for you. And me. And we ought to love each other with the same love. But if you don't get that first thing right, don't just deceive yourselves and think you're going to get the second. Because it's all about Him. With that, I'm done, Paul.
So, that first thing, how quick does it take us to get off that first thing? Just like that, how many times in the first 20 minutes I'm awake did that happen? You know, when we don't love Lord God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it's all about us. And the thing that I was kind of struck with is in 2 Timothy. Three, five, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. These are people, amongst other things. It's all about them, and it's about what they look like. It's about, you know, how blessed they are and what kind of power and position they have and how well they please other men. But it comes down to where are why are we here and what do we expect out of this? Are we expecting God's going to meet us because we choose to love Him with everything we've got? Or are we here to have a form of godliness? And I'll tell you that for Paul, that decision, it was a long time coming. But if you're not here, and I'm going to go to Philippians 3 again, 10. This is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If I can't be conformable unto His death, then I have no forgiveness of sins. No, I'm not buried with Him in baptism and raised again into the new life that He resurrected into, then what? We're just playing a game here. If I don't believe that and I don't trust in that, then I just have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. The power of Jesus Christ is in His resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Pretty important to Him. And it was the key to all this. This is after having counted it all but dung. The Pharisee of Pharisees. I came from the right lineage, from the right schools, from the right family. I hung out with the right people. I was in the right social class. I was doing everything I could do to be approved of men. Not worth a dime. Because I didn't know Him. The amount of time that John spends with the concept of loving the brethren, love one another, as I have also loved you, out of John 15, and then again 1 John. How many times in 1 John? He goes there in 2 John as well. It's not something you can do if you haven't already separated your heart and will to please the Father, to serve Him. Anything else is having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You can't attain to the power of that resurrection unless you, however many times you have to. And this is why it's working out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because I fear not making that choice at the pivotal moment when it needs to be made. And never attaining to that for which I was apprehended of Jesus Christ for. But you have instructions, two patterns. And the pattern you need to be following is. And this is one, but this is the first one that comes to mind, is in James chapter 4. And he also talks about, Paul talks about it in Philippians 2. What are you going to do about that pride? Philippians talks about in lowliness of mind, esteem others better than yourself. Excuse me. Guys, I tried to move it. I really did. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? This is the old flesh. This is just the same old. It refuses to stay dead, right? This is somebody whose heart is not separated wholly to the purpose of pleasing and honoring the Father, loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can't walk in double-mindedness. And this is unbelief. And if you're walking in that unbelief, you really have nothing to be proud of. Because Paul throws it back to, you have a form of godliness and you deny the power thereof. The form of godliness isn't going to help you at all. Because those people you're trying to impress in front of you, they can't send you to heaven or hell. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war and yet you have not because you ask not. This doesn't sound like... This is a whole lot different than anybody anywhere. Not just somebody that's people... This is people who've taken the name of the Lord that he's instructing here. These don't sound any different than any of the people you run across out there in the world any time, any day. In fact, some of them are more virtuous than this, at least. They appear to be. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scriptures saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. What was it you were just saying about that idea? Let's agree with him. Agree with him. Yes, Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Anybody in here get any experience with that happening? It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Does it happen? Yes, it does. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. That means you get near him, get close to him. The closer you get to him, the closer he gets to you. And that's a nice thing. Because if he moved away from me every time I needed him and was trying to get closer to him, I'd be kind of frustrated, wouldn't I? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And this is the conflict between belief and unbelief. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That your joy may be full. You know, I can lavish a whole bunch of praise on the Philip, but it's not going to do anything to get him in better shape. But if the Lord lifts him up, then he's going to be lifted up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth the brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? You can't send anybody to hell or get them into heaven. That's God the Father. That's His call. And where do you think you have... Why would you presume that your opinion of somebody is going to make any difference in their eternal condition anyhow? But, you know, it's still, this is pride that's motivating people. Go now. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll do such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times have I reveled and rejoiced in these boastings about what I may do there and what I may do such a thing? We're going to do this, we're going to do that. I may never get there. How arrogant. How prideful. And that pride takes over like that, man. That's absolute unbelief. But I was sitting there reading through Philippians. That's a big sucker. A blood sucker. I was sitting there reading through Philippians, and I'm sitting there reading in 4. And you know what he says in 4? The Philippians sounds to me like he's writing Colossians 3, and it's a much, much more eloquent, but the instruction is to set your affections on things that are above. If anything be pure, if anything be, you know, good reputation and all this stuff, think on these things. Set your affections on things that are above. You have to roll out of bed in the morning making a choice. Because the first thing I want to do when I roll out of bed in the morning is go, oh, God, I wish I could stay in bed in the morning. Like, I don't want to do any of this. Can I just stay in bed? The rebellion just...
I think I'm coming down.
I'm absolutely sure. And you know that I have to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't want any of that stuff on me.
Amen.
But you know, the Lord's been good and He's been patient. If you're not coming here that you may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and a fellowship of his sufferings, that you may be apprehended. You may apprehend what you were apprehended for by Jesus Christ. Then you have a form of godliness and you're denying the power thereof. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. I'm done.